my name is Karis and you are listening to Kingdom Minds. This is a podcast where we talk about Kingdom Hearts and the Kingdom of God.
Hi, my name is David.
And today we have a super special guest because we have my friend Matthew Blair on the show. Say hello.
Hey, guys.
So how long have we known each other, Matthew? It's been a long time.
I think you came to my school, maybe five or six. So for American viewers, about the age of 10-ish.
Right.
Something like that. So for about 15 years, yeah.
Roughly 15 years, which is insane.
Yeah.
And like, I knew who you were and stuff, but I don't feel like we got to know each other until we were both in band together.
Yeah, because I was in band with your sister before I was in band with you.
That's right. And actually, I hung out more with Sean every week at drama club.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which is really bizarre.
Like, there was connections, but like, we didn't really know each other yet.
Yep. And now we know each other because Angela and Jerry, your mom and dad, come to my church. We've come full circle. And yeah, and now you and Sally are like some of my favorite people. So it's awesome.
Yay!
Yeah, so we're super excited. And for the listeners out there, Matthew is a super diehard Kingdom Hearts fan. So we're really excited to get into some stuff. But before we do that, we're going to go on with the news. So basically, there's not that much. News is a bit slow at the moment. Sadly, the Japanese voice of Axel passed away yesterday at 55. He died from cancer. I don't want to try and pronounce his name because I'll get it wrong, but he was a fabulous Axel, I can tell you that. Also, in Square Enix news, of course, everyone's talking about it, but the Final Fantasy VII remake dropped last week. I haven't got it yet because it's so expensive, and I don't really want to pay an arm and a leg to get it from the PlayStation store. It's like £60. However, they are doing like free games during the quarantine period. Yesterday they had Uncharted, the Nathan Drake collection for free, and also Journey, so I downloaded both of those. Very exciting. So yeah, I am excited to play it at some point in the future. Whenever it comes into my work and then I can buy stuff discount, that's the plan. But I'm not in work currently because our store's closed. So there's that. In Disney news, they updated their upcoming release schedule through to 2022. They're now releasing Artemis Fowl exclusively to Disney Plus, which makes me worry that it's not going to be the movie I want it to be, and I'm a little bit mad. Anybody got any opinions about any of the stuff they announced? A lot of it, I don't really know what it is, because it's like untitled movie number one, untitled movie number two. But there are some things. Let me get the list up real quick. So Mulan is apparently coming July the 24th. Empty Man, which is a 20th Century Studio thing, is coming in August. I have no idea what that is. Is this a sequel to Early Man, the Aardman film? I don't think so.
Oh.
I don't think that's what it is.
I mean, I haven't heard of it, so it sounds legit to me.
Early Man's brilliant. I don't know. Have you seen it, Matthew?
I haven't seen it, no.
It's great. It's hilarious. It's, David, I don't know if you'll understand it because it's very British humour.
I've heard of it. I just haven't seen it.
It's good. Other stuff, I don't know. Death on the Nile, who even knows what that is? Black Widow is coming November.
I was so upset that like all of the Marvel movies that have just had to be moved one forward.
Yeah, It sucks. Soul is a Pixar movie that's coming in November too. And then other things, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff, man. They just dumped a whole bunch of stuff, and then it's Untitled 20th Century, August 13th, 2021. Like, okay, great. Who cares? Oh, the one thing I am excited for coming is Hamilton is coming, which is...
I knew you'd be excited about that.
Oh, I'm psyched. So it's not like a Disney remake or anything. It's literally the stage show that they filmed, and they're dropping that in October 2021. So that's a long time. But I have seen it live, so that's okay. That scratches my itch. Anyway, so that's the news. Is there anything else we want to chat about in terms of Disney things? Just a lot of untitled stuff. Untitled Lucasfilm, December 16th, 2022. Excellent.
I feel like this year's slate of movies wasn't ever going to be that impressive to begin with, compared to last year's, I guess.
Oh, I mean, last year was the year to end all years in terms of everything. it was crazy. Alrighty, so that's the news. So Matthew, real quick, I wanted to ask you, to begin with, tell us a little bit about your Kingdom Hearts journey and how you got into this series.
So I think I probably started playing Kingdom Hearts like as it came out, like it, because I can remember buying it as a brand new game. It might have been a couple of months after, but from then I just completely fell in love with the Kingdom Hearts games. I absolutely love Disney, and I've always loved the Final Fantasy games. Adding them together was just absolute genius.
It's a perfect storm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's just so smart because, you know, you have your Disney characters. Anyone, you know, from the ages of 12 or under wants to play it for that. And then anyone from the ages of 12 or older want to play it for the Final Fantasy characters. And then once you fall in love with the Kingdom Hearts games, who cares what age you are?
That's true.
And then I think I probably just got every single Kingdom Hearts game, like as it came out from that point onwards. You know, like being the person that's, I got a PSP solely for the purpose of getting Birth by Sleep. I had no other reason for getting it.
I mean, there is no other reason for having a PSP.
Like, I didn't even enjoy the console at all.
It's horrible.
It was terrible.
I do like the turquoise ones, though. I kind of want to buy a turquoise one from CX just because it looks nice. That's it.
Just to have it, because it looks nice on a shelf. Not to play.
No, not to play.
But if you have Birth by Sleep, that's the only reason you'll really play it.
Sure.
And that's the only time I ever played the PSP was actually that and Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core. From then, it was just kind of, I love the whole like lore and like understanding loads, and I've ended up taking it just slightly too far where I'm now writing a book of the entire history of Kingdom Hearts.
Amazing. I can't wait to read it when it's done. Are you going to like properly publish it, or what's the deal?
Yeah, so the craziest thing is I was like, it would be quite fun just to get this, like, get a few printed off, like, to give to family members or, like, people like you.
Mm-hmm.
But I then was like, well, I mean, if I'm going to be taking it that far, why don't I just see if I could get it published? And I was like, the first people I need to, you know, like, talk to about that are obviously Square Enix and Disney, because if they don't want me to obviously have it published, it's not going to happen.
Sure.
And I'm not going to fight their lawyers. That's not going to happen because they'll win that. But they've, like, you know, they emailed and they were like, yeah, here's, like, a contract. Like, if I eventually it does get to sales, they'll have no problem with me selling it, but I will only be getting, like, it's something like 7.2% of the sales.
Oh, that's sad. Which is,
and I was like, you know what? Sure. I was doing it just for fun, and like, I was like, oh, I could like give it to like people that like I know like that like Kingdom Hearts, but like being able to sell it, I was like, yeah, sure. So whenever it is finished, which hopefully I can get it done this year.
Amazing. And then in our future episodes, we can be like sponsored by Matthew's book. Ha ha! We'll be doing so many shows for that, I'm sure, whether we are paid to do them or not.
Sponsored or not.
Yep, 100%.
Realistically, if people buy them, then I'll have money and then it can be sponsored.
Sure. No, it's fine. Oh, that's exciting. That's really cool. And then tell us about your, well, if you want to, you don't have to, but your recent attempt to break the world record for the longest gaming session.
Yeah, so I realised that like I had done like longer gaming sessions than other people think are normal size gaming sessions. Like people, I had seen people bragging online of like, oh, I had done 27 hours and so on. But I was sitting thinking, well, I've done like 52 hour gaming sessions with my friends just for fun, not for trying to do a long gaming session. We just sat and continuously played.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, I'll try and do it. And I was like, well, I've got, you know, Kingdom Hearts, the story so far, and Kingdom Hearts 3. So I can play every single Kingdom Hearts game. The world record was 136 hours, I think. So I was going to try and do 140 playing Kingdom Hearts. And so I started on Kingdom Hearts 1, and I was just going to go through them as they released, not like in chronological order, but just as they had released. And I'm like, something like 80% of the way through Kingdom Hearts 1, and maybe something like 22 hours in, so like barely into the world record. But I was like, I'd done 22 hours. It was a long time.
Sure.
and the whole thing just crashed and shut down.
So sad. I was gutted for you.
So upset.
Oh man.
And I was just sitting there realizing that like the whole thing's just shut down. And in order to get the world record, like you have to have one continuous it doesn't matter if it's one continuous stream, but I was using the stream as my evidence for having done it.
Right.
Which is stupid. I should have like set up a video camera to record it as well. But because I then had to shut down the stream, I then had to essentially stop my evidence. So I will be doing it again, and I will be doing it playing Kingdom Hearts.
100%. You'll get there. I believe in you. I know you can do it. All right, so we're going to move right along to our second segment, and I'm really excited for this episode. I've been wanting to do it for a long time, but I thought it'd be super fun to chat about the fashion in Kingdom Hearts and just the character designs, because, let me tell you, Nomura has a history of creating pretty off-the-wall designs. He's famously pretty obsessed with belts and zips, and he has a flair and a style that I adore. There's just something about the fashion in these games that's just super fun and interesting. So that's this episode. Yeah, let's dive right in. I don't know. Has anybody got any immediate, like, standout favourites?
I mean, apart from Sora's giant shoes in Kingdom Hearts 1.
The banana
like
shoes,
that,
yes.
And the black clothes, yeah, have just always been a favourite. Mm-hmm. Just because they're just so recognisable straight away. Like, it's not like, oh, is that the same thing? Like, it's just so simple. And you, like, as soon as you see that black cloak, you know exactly who you're dealing with.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. The clothes he designed for the Disney characters are pretty cool. I feel like it gives them that cool kind of Final Fantasy vibe.
Yeah. I was doing some research yesterday and I stumbled across Sora's Christmas outfit. It's so good.
Like, yeah.
Like, have you seen it recently? I just looked it up again and I was like, it's a Santa suit, but it's black. It's an edgy Christmas suit.
I think, like, now, like, when you are in Kingdom Hearts 3, when you are in Halloween Town, you've got your normal, like, Sora Halloween costume, but then when you go to Christmas Town, it changes, because I don't think it was doing that. Like, I might be wrong, but I think it was staying the same. But now when you enter Christmas Town, you suddenly have the Santa costume.
I love it. It's great. I don't know. It's just really fun. It's just a fun detail. And I really enjoy that about these games. Like, that there's just loads of detail and just loads of thought. I think that most of my favourite Kingdom Hearts outfits are from Kingdom Hearts 2. I don't know if this is due to nostalgia, but I think in Kingdom Hearts 3, Nomura kind of toned down a bit of the wackiness, going for more, like, modern, kind of urban look.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is cool and everything, but his final form outfit, I mean, it's beautiful. It's a form outfit, but it's white. It's just really striking. I think the white just makes him look really, like, powerful as well. And you just don't really see Sora wear white that often. But yeah, I really enjoy his final form outfit and his Valor form as well. Because red is one of my favourite colours. And I think I've talked about that on the podcast previously. But it's good. It's a good form.
Yeah, I wasn't as impressed with the form outfits in Kingdom Hearts 3.
No.
I guess they were going something a little bit more subtle. But it turned out being like, I can't really even tell what he's wearing now. It's just...
Yeah.
And there are so many like particle effects going on the screen. You can't even really see him anyway.
Yeah, for sure. I think as well, in Kingdom Hearts 2, Kairi's outfit is my favourite in that game. But I think her design in Kingdom Hearts 3 is really similar.
Yeah.
But in Kingdom Hearts 2, she doesn't have the hood. And I really love her hair. I think her hair is really nice. I think it looks the best in that game. And I really adore her little shoes. Her little kind of, what are they? Like, pink kind of... sandal type thing. Not sandals. I don't know what they are. I don't know shoes. I'm a girl, but I don't know shoes.
Does she wear like Crocs or something similar?
Yeah, they're kind of that shape, I guess.
And the second one?
Yes. They're nicer looking than Crocs. They're like fancy Crocs, I guess. But I don't know. They're fun. I would wear them on a like a summer day. But no, in the third game, she's got like kind of Doc Martens going on. It's like edgy Kairi. I think the Kingdom Hearts 2 outfits are really inspired. I think just Sora's casual outfit is probably one of the best. I do like his outfit in Kingdom Hearts 3. I really like the chick played going on as well.
I think the check kind of, because Riku's got the check in his as well, and I think that's actually like supposed to be like some sort of like protection, like darkness protection, because the point was that, yes, like Mickey was wearing like the organization cloak because it's like a darkness protector, but obviously the point was they obviously all want darkness protection, but there's no point in them all wearing the exact same black cloaks, because that just wouldn't, it just wouldn't look good for every character to be wearing them. So I think that that's what it was supposed to be, because they're all like, everyone has, like Kairi has it, like in her,
oh she does, in her little skirt,
on her skirt, but I think also like there's maybe like a wee like kind of shoulder sleeve, like it might be a shirt underneath, I don't know, and Riku has it as well, like on his shorts and like at the bottom of his, I don't know if it's like an undershirt or maybe at the bottom of his jacket, but
yeah, yeah, it's under his jacket.
I think it was supposed to be like, oh, like they all got these special clothes that all like kind of look like their own clothes, but there's something similar, and it, everyone has the checked bit. So that's, I just thought that has to be like kind of darkness protection.
Could be. I'd never really thought about that, but I think even if that's not the case, it's nice to have a kind of unifying feature that they all have. It's a pretty nice detail.
Except Kainer, Pence, and Olette also have the checker pattern on their outfits too.
Oh, I love them. I love Pence. She's adorable looking. So funny.
Did Pence know something that everyone else didn't, and he was having darkness protection? Just a bit too early.
Or like, Donald, sorry, and Goofy. They just totally get left out. Like, no one gives them any new clothes.
Yeah, like every other character got new clothes. Like, Mickey got new clothes. Like, he changed all the time. And nope. Donald and Goofy were left to defend themselves. They didn't have any special clothes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, so like Kainer's got plaid on his little jacket, and he's got like a body warmer thing, but it's like a crop top. Yeah, and Pence has got like a little bandana going on, and Olette's really adorable. She's got like little coral colored like bracelet and stuff. They're so cute. I love them so much. And I think it's fun that that Nomura's got, they're kind of like a more like hip hop style vibe I get from them. They're just kind of casual, like street clothes. I think that's really fun that there's a kind of variety in design. Something that I wanted to mention, this is a theory that I have about Axel's new clothes, because I feel like even when they're all together in Yen Sid's tower and he's there and he's like, oh, where do I fit in? That whole part, he's still wearing his organization coat, and I feel like he was pressured into wearing normal clothes, because even then at the very end he's basically still wearing the organization coat. It's like a sleeveless coat over the top of a check shirt. I mean, and it's like long, it's basically a coat without the sleeves. I think that he just really likes that coat and he didn't want to take it off, so he'll just,
and also
the arms, it's
good protection.
Yep. I think that's my theory, my really dumb theory about Axel's coat.
Actually do have a theory of like, there's checkered like stuff throughout pretty much everyone's clothes, like in Kingdom Hearts 3. And see when you're on like the loading menus and it shows you like, it's supposed to be the like the screen that you're looking at on like your gummy phone.
Oh yeah, the little Instagram posts.
Well, there's a checkered pattern behind that as well.
Is there really?
And it's kind of like a kind of chessboardy pattern, and then like there's like wee symbols all over it, like Kingdom Hearts ones. But the thing is, like all it looks like is a chessboard.
Oh.
And of course, Zayn and Master Ericus are playing chess, and through Kingdom Hearts 3 you get like those cutscenes of them, like, and you can see like if you look at all the symbols that they're using, like of all the pieces, it's all like to connected to characters that are in the story. Mm-hmm. And I actually have a theory that the whole, like the entirety of Kingdom Hearts is just the storyline of their chess games, because of like the magic and stuff as they're playing chess, it's literally making all of these things happen.
Huh.
And like literally, and because everything has like that chess pattern. And then at the very, very end of Kingdom Hearts 3, I can't remember if it's like, if it's an end credit scene or if it's maybe a secret scene, I can't remember, where Ericus says, oh, let me show you this new game.
Oh yeah.
And the symbols that are on top of the chess pieces are the union, the union animals.
Oh, right.
And then the kind of crown symbol is on the other side, which is Sora. Mm-hmm. Which, yes, everyone was like, oh, so the next game is probably going to be Sora, you know, against all of the union leaders. But actually, is it even deeper than that? And it's actually just, they're just playing chess, doing this new game, telling their story of Sora versus these people. And they're actually just, they're controlling it through their weird like chess game. We see it as chess because that's what we think of it as, but it's actually a lot more magic and controlling.
Huh. I guess that's possible. I haven't heard anybody say that, like, talk about that in any of the videos I've seen. So that's interesting.
Connection with the checkerboard pattern, though. I never noticed that before. It's obviously a checker pattern, but I didn't make the connection of the checker of the chess game.
Chess game. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It's all coming together. Oh my gosh. We're learning so much. No, I really enjoy the continuity of the chess game and the checker pattern. I think that's fun. And whether that means that they're all in a game of chess or not, I don't know.
They could also all just like be in a... I've literally just listened to like last week's podcast.
Oh, yes.
And listened to all of your theories. So it could be a many number of things. That was just the weird thought I had because they are playing a chess game that kind mm-hmm. of depicts it. So
I don't think in our last episode we addressed, like, the burning question, which is that if Sora's reality is just Yozora's dream, then what about the Disney worlds? Do they exist? Or no? Are they all figments of his imagination? Which I think is something that Jay Skeleton brings up in his video that I linked to in the show notes last time. He talks about this. I really don't want that to be the case because I do really want the Disney World to be real, but I don't know. Nomura is just throwing everything up in the air and trying to make us scramble at these little pieces and obsess over them and so on.
I don't think it'll be that because they already had concepts of sleep and dreams for a while now. So I feel like if you already have an in-game lore aspect of dreaming and sleeping, it would be weird to add a second layer of dreams on top of that.
That's a weird inception.
Yeah, it's definitely, very inception-like.
Yeah.
It's a dream within a dream and a game within a game, and it could go on forever. But no, I guess that makes sense too. I hope that's true. I hope it's not real. That would make me really sad. So I think we also need to address, in terms of the fashion side of things, which trio do we think has got the best fashion?
Well, in terms of, like, just looking good, like, I love, you know, Sora, Riku and Kairi from Kingdom Hearts 3. Like, I love their updated outfits. But Terra, Ventus and Aqua from Birth by Sleep, they're full armor, like, especially in the trailer version where it like looks kind of more real life and their rendering's a lot better, like, than really in game. But I don't know if you've seen if you complete Kingdom Hearts 2, like the final mix version on the story so far, there's like a new, like, you know, secret ending, and it's just obviously like a trailer for Birth by Sleep. But the way that their armor looks in that is just amazing. And I would love to see something like that come back, because if you've got like kind of Keyblade Master armor, why wouldn't everyone want that?
True. Yeah. The thing that I can't get past, and I ranted about this before, but it's Terra's trousers or his pants. I hate them so much. Why? They're so wide and ugly, and Nomura, what are you doing? I think in terms of fashion, they're the worst trio, in my opinion, because I hate Terra's pants. I don't enjoy Ventus's weird two-jacket polo-neck combo. I don't know, I think it's bad. Aqua's beautiful, but I hate her shoes, her pointy shoes. So that's my two cents. What do you think of their designs, David?
of Birth by Sleep, I don't mind them. I feel like they're fine. Definitely Tara's poofy pants are a little weird. but I think overall, probably my favorite, like as a unified trio, would be the Kingdom Hearts 3 outfits. Even though there are aspects of Kingdom Hearts 2 and Kingdom Hearts 1 here and there that I like better sometimes. But I feel like as the overall kind of unified design, the Kingdom Hearts 3 is probably the best. I would say I prefer 2, if not for like Riku's random bare belly button.
Oh, yeah. It's not great.
That was weird.
I do like his like jeans or his pants in Kingdom Hearts 2, though. They're really nice. But yeah, his crop top's a little weird. Nomura's got a thing with like crop tops and kind of androgynous designs and things. Yeah, it's weird. I have on my computer right in front of me, it's like a side-by-side comparison of his Kingdom Hearts 2 design and his Kingdom Hearts 3 design. It's just so, yeah, really different.
The only thing I probably would have changed with Riku's Kingdom Hearts 3 design, like I like the whole outfit, but I would have kept his hair long. I liked his long hair from Kingdom Hearts 2.
Yes, 100%. That's like the thing that I was trying to voice and didn't know like what I liked so much about it. But yeah, I do prefer longer hair in general and character designs.
I think I know the reason behind that. Generally, being an animator, I studied animation in college for a little while, but generally long hair is more difficult to animate than short hair. So I think that's probably why they gave them all haircuts in Kingdom Hearts 3. And even Dream Drop Distance, they already gave Riku a haircut in Dream Drop Distance. And I think
it's going
to be faster to animate to give them all short hair.
But I mean, considering how long Kingdom Hearts 3 is in production, like I feel like they can find long hair.
Yeah.
They'd done quite a lot, obviously, but then they had to change engine, and like with a new engine that has a completely different like in-game physics, I can understand them wanting to do the shorter hair, definitely.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe they started out with long hair, and then when they switched to Unreal, they were like, man, we got to do something about this hair.
Yeah, because if you're trying to create longer hair, and it is in an engine that creates more real physics, then it's just... Mm-hmm. I mean, the chances are then, actually, when we get our, say, whatever it is, Kingdom Hearts 4, they'll just be bald because they just be able to handle how real it is.
Just have buzz cuts.
A bald Zora.
Well, they did that in Star Wars Rebels, where the main character Ezra and then later he just gets a buzz cut. I feel like the animators are just like, we're done with this. Can we just give him a buzz cut?
I fully believe that's what happened there.
Okay, here's a question. Here's curveball. Okay, although as an aside, I am so glad they didn't give Axel a haircut. That would have, I would have died had they done that. But no, here's what I was going to say. Okay, what would be the dumbest haircut on a Kingdom Hearts 3 character? I think give Riku a mullet. That's my opinion.
You want to give him a mullet?
Yes.
If we're talking like the dumbest possible haircuts that we could give to someone, I mean, we could have like a really long-haired Goofy, like...
like Rapunzel?
Because Goofy is a dog, so when we see like his skin, that's obviously just his hair really, really short. So if we just let it grow out and he just was like really, really shaggy...
He just becomes like a poodle?
Yeah.
I love it.
Just has really long hair. Like if he like drops into water in like mid-game, it just sometimes becomes, his hair becomes really poofy. And that would be great. Like that's a mod I want to see.
That's insane. I think what would be a huge improvement is to give Sora the Hawkeye haircut from Endgame.
Wow. There are so many, yeah.
It's so horrible. It's so ugly. It doesn't look good in any angle.
Going the same line, do we give Kairi the Black Widow haircut from Endgame? or her Infinity War one where it's short and blonde?
Oof. Yeah, that's something I don't want to see at all.
They should all just get reverse mohawks.
Yeah, let's do it. But I think by the end of this like quarantine, everyone's going to have super long hair. So I feel like I feel like they'll just grow their hair out again. So Sora will have like floor length hair, and it'll be like in have you ever seen when Finn from Adventure Time takes his hat off and he has like crazy long hair and he's like, ha ha. It'd just be like this.
Because Donald always has like his hat on. Like, does Donald take his on? He's just got one huge feather that just like swoops down.
I love it.
The only other haircut I'd love to see is if Xehanort just had like a reversal, like Master Xehanort. So instead of having bald hair and a goatee, he was completely clean shaven, but just had that goatee just in the top of his head.
Well, like sticking up?
Like a wee island.
So he's got like the Jack haircut?
Yeah, that, but slightly longer and grey.
That sounds terrifying. It's basically an old Jack.
Master Jack.
Oh, I don't like this. Oh, that's funny. Well, was there any other thing we wanted to chat about in terms of outfits?
What do you guys think of, like alternate outfits, like in the Strange Worlds, like Toy Story or Monsters, Inc., or like Halloween Town? Okay. What was your favourite?
My favourite alternative outfit. It's definitely not Sora when he's a mermaid. No. It's definitely not Sora when he's a lion. Basically, no animal Sora is not my favorite. I do think that they did his pirate outfit in Kingdom Hearts 3 really good. It's very beautiful and like photorealistic. And they did a good job of kind of merging his style with that. I feel like that's my answer.
I was going to say, I think I like his Pirates of the Caribbean outfit from 3. I think that's probably my favorite.
Do you have a favorite, Matthew?
I think probably either like the Santa. I love Santa Sora.
Yep, Santa Sora is excellent.
My least favorite is actually the Monsters Inc. Sora. He just seems like too like punk rocky, like like it's a bit like I don't even understand, like and on his face I don't understand if that's hair or is it a shell or like it's just very weird.
It is confusing.
It's like a fin, it's like a reptilian kind of a fin kind of thing.
Yeah, it is a bit strange. I mean, to be fair, it is Monsters Inc. world, so it's going to look a bit weird, but no, I wasn't too fond of that one.
No, I didn't love it so much.
Although I did quite like the when I say the trio, I mean like Sora, Donald, Goofy, and what's it called? When they go to Disney Castle and the, oh my goodness, what's that called?
Radiant Garden.
You know, like when they go and it's like before King, like the Disney Castle has been made. It's in Kingdom Hearts 2.
Timeless River.
Timeless River.
Oh yes.
It's like monochrome world. Yeah, Timeless River. Oh my goodness, that was terrible. I quite like their, like, obviously Donald and Goofy's like original like designs, like not in Kingdom Hearts, but their original designs, obviously like in the old animations. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's actually
and, like,
really
and, like,
well
old
done.
Old animation Mickey as well, and Pete. I thought that was really fun.
Yeah, old Pete is excellent.
Oh, it's just so funny.
I feel like that's probably one of my favorite ones. Cool. I think that's about everything. Unless, do we have anything else to say on that regard?
How hard must it be for the organization members to fight in those trench coats?
Yeah.
I feel like it's not...
Like they don't seem battle...
Really for combat.
Yeah. No. No, not at all.
Do you know, I don't think I've thought about that until just now. Because, I mean, they have those, like, coats in the Matrix, but they're, like, open. Like, they're unzipped, and then they're free to move around. But they always have them zipped up. It must be, like, really restrictive.
Like, that's leather. Like, that must be heavy and warm.
Maybe some special magic material that is good for fighting, too, I guess. I mean, it protects you from darkness. Maybe it, like, boosts your strength or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and agility. It has to boost your agility, because otherwise that is just not useful.
They are cool, though. Yeah, I would wear one, and I would wear it every day if I could. Except not in the middle of summer, because that would be too hot.
Speaking of which, like, which outfits do you think that you would actually wear, like, if they made them into, like, just regular clothes, like would you actually wear it like in public, or would you just cosplay it?
I feel like a fair few of the outfits I would wear, like I would say any of Carrie's outfits, I really like, particularly her Kingdom Hearts 2 little zipper dress. I really like it. Well, I don't feel like it would look good on me because I have like wide hips and stuff, and she is skinny, and I don't think I could pull it off, but I would like to wear it. Also, I do dig like Axel's new cloth, like jacket that's like long black. I think it's cool, like hoodie thing. I would wear that. I'd probably wear Roxas's jacket too, because I really like Roxas's jacket as well. I know it's like the same as Ventus, but Roxas wears it better because he's a cooler character. Sorry for the Ventus fans out there.
I would wear Riku's jacket, and Kingdom Hearts 3 is pretty cool.
I was actually just about to say, I think I would probably wear his whole Kingdom Hearts 3 outfit, minus the gloves.
I mean, I would probably wear it too, let's be honest. But probably minus the V-neck. I'm not big on the V-neck.
Although, yeah. I mean, I would prefer, like, instead of three-quarter shorts, like trousers, I prefer trousers.
Regular old jeans, yeah. Also, I don't think that Naminé's design gets enough love. It's just really simple. She's got a little white dress on, but it's nice. And I really enjoy her hair as well. It's really nicely designed. And I would wear her little dress, and her sandals are fun too. I like Naminé's outfit as well. I feel like she doesn't get any new clothes, does she? She's like the only character that doesn't get new clothes.
Apart from the organization members, yeah.
Dang. Namari, need to get Naminé some new clothes.
She's been through a lot. She deserves new clothes. Let the girl shop. Also, where do they get all of their new clothes? Like, I get that, like, the three fairies have, like, some weird, like, contract deal with Sora where they make all of his clothes. But, like, because if all the majority of, like, you know, Disney and Pixar movies, do they all go to Edna from The Incredibles to get their clothes? Yes.
Absolutely. Like,
that is the new canon.
It's either that or there's just a flipping mall, like outside Yen Sid's like mysterious tower or something. That's where they all rock up and they've got their new clothes on. I guess that's where they shop, I suppose, like H&M or whatever.
That's where they get all their clothes.
Yeah, I feel like that's everything. Yeah, so now we're going to chat about spiritual theme in Kingdom Hearts. So we were going to discuss the Keyblade and how it has some parallels to the Holy Spirit, one of the members of the Trinity in the Bible. So, yeah, I don't know who wants to go first.
Yeah, I feel like definitely more in Kingdom Hearts 1, because the Keyblade was like a unique thing, like exclusive to Sora. I mean, later on, like everybody has it. Even like some of the bad guys.
Yeah.
But definitely has that theme of like, it's guiding you. And, you know, there's a famous verse from the Gospels where Jesus tells Peter he's giving him the keys to the kingdom. It's a very Kingdom Hearts-ish thing to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's also the parallels of Sora. There's the allusions to Sora being some sort of a king, which maybe we'll get to some point in a future game. But yeah, it's a power against the darkness. It's essentially the only thing that's, well, supposed, at least in the first game, supposedly the only thing that can really defeat the Heartless is a Keyblade. And similarly, the Holy Spirit, I guess you could say he is kind of like our weapon in a spiritual fight against the darkness.
Yeah, absolutely. The Sword of the Spirit is our Keyblade.
I guess you could also say there's parallels to the Word of God as well. The Word of God being the Sword of the Spirit.
Ah, yes. I think that our new catchphrase should be, may the Sword of the Spirit be your guiding key.
Yes.
definitely the Keyblade is the source of power that Sora has to defeat the darkness. And I think, I don't know, I think actually the Keyblade has a lot of parallels to also just prayer as well. And obviously the Spirit of God, he is with us when we pray. And I feel like that's how we can defeat darkness in our lives in terms of things that are happening around us in the spiritual realm, because we are in a spiritual battle all day, every day.
Obviously, it happens less in like the later Kingdom Hearts games when Sora has a bit more control of his powers, but especially in the beginning when it would just appear to him when he needed it the most. Just kind of has like kind of great power that, like, you know, even if you don't know that God's there, like so many people, like, you know, when something bad happens, you know, they're like, oh, like I'll need to pray, or like, because like people always go to God when they need something the most. Like that Keyblade of, well, you know, when he needed it the most, it was there and it didn't fail him. You know, every time that he, I mean, even when something that he thought it was taken away from him at the end of the first Kingdom Hearts game, it was like, no, that wasn't Riku's to take away. Like, it will always be with him once he got it.
Yeah, for sure. So the Keyblade also enables the wielder to, like, unlock things, like worlds, and also people's hearts, and so on. And I think similarly, in our lives, the Holy Spirit is able to, like, to unlock things that are going on in our hearts. So, for example, if you're struggling with something, but you don't really, like, admit it to God, like, it's the Holy Spirit that's there, and he's the conviction that comes, and it's a kind of unlocking, I guess. Oftentimes, it can feel like that, of stuff coming out to the forefront, as it were.
And I definitely think, like, and again, obviously it was more so in the first Kingdom Hearts game, where there were times where, like, you know, like the keyhole would, like, appear in front of Sora, and he obviously didn't know what to do, but straight away, like, you know, his Sword of the Spirit, you know, worked for him and obviously moved for him. And it's, you know, so parallel to a lot of the time, like, we don't know what we need to do, but the Spirit works for us and, like, is doing things, even though we don't know what it's doing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's that passage from Ephesians 6 about the full armor of God. And he says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And then it, of course, it mentions the different pieces of the armor, one of them being the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So it's both the Spirit, but also the word of God. So that kind of ties in those two connections.
And the word is also Jesus, which is super fun. And I get really excited about that. But I think as well, I think the thing that's obviously super different, so, like, there are parallels, but there's also, like, glaring differences. And one of those being that not only is the Keyblade the source of power for Sora to defeat the darkness, but the Keyblades can also be used by Xehanort and other organization members for evil purposes, and that's not so good. So I guess it falls down in that respect. But I think overall it's a good analogy.
I mean, yes, but that, like, when you look at things like, I mean, like Xehanort's Keyblade, which is, well, of course, actually the Master of Masters Keyblade, it's kind of you, like, realizing that, like, it's got an evil lineage. Like, you can actually see that that's a lot more sinister than what you actually think of when you think of a Keyblade. Which I quite like, that they've kind of given that kind of, like, the main, like, evil Keyblade that you can think of is the Keyblade of all the evil people that you know with Keyblades that have gone back.
Yeah. I don't know, the Keyblade lore is dead. There's so much.
That's true.
I think we could go down a rabbit hole.
I also quite like, in Birth by Sleep, when all of that trio visit Sora, Riku, and Kairi, and they have that protection, like, spell, the kind of master's protection spell that goes on all of them. So actually, the whole point of it is that the Keyblade, and if we were talking of it as the Holy Spirit, like, the Holy Spirit touching them as their protection as children as well. Like, it's not just simply something that you have and, like, it's for you. Like, it can be used, you know, like, you know, for you to use it for other people. Like this, then the Kingdom Hearts, they would use it as a spell. But then if you think of that as, like, a prayer that it would protect someone or for anything, there's that parallel as well, which I quite like. It's not just for, like, that wielder's use.
Yeah. And I guess as well, like as Christians, we don't, like, wield the Holy Spirit. Like, it's very much that he's in us and he's using us for his purposes. So, like, that's also the kind of thing that we were saying to begin with, like, the Keyblade in Kingdom Hearts 1 anyway is, like, got like a mind of its own and is, like, very much guiding Sora and, yeah.
Like, actually, is the Keyblade then actually controlled by something else that actually is in control and not being used as a weapon?
Well, yeah, and in Kingdom Hearts 1, they talk about it as though it chose Sora, like it has a will of its own.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I kind of have a gripe with Birth by Sleep for kind of going back on that and being like, actually, no, it's a master exam. I wish that it was simply the Keyblade chose Sora because he's pure of heart. And it is that, but it's also destiny. And I'm like, ugh, does it have to be that? Does it have to be destiny? Can't it just be that the Keyblade chose Sora? But no.
As much as I love Birth by Sleep, I feel like it's a little bit Star Wars prequel-y in that there are some things we didn't really need explanations to.
Yeah, for sure.
There was no need for that, yeah. But they did it anyway.
Nomura, why do you do this? But also, we love you. Keep making games.
And make them faster.
Yeah. Sweet. Did we have anything else on that front?
I think that's all I got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. So you've been listening to Kingdom Minds. Also, our theme music was composed by Josh Reed, and our logo was designed by David and also coloured by my brother. We have an updated logo coming really soon. I'm very excited because it looks super cool. So stay tuned for that. But also, take care, and we will see you next time. And thank you also to Matthew for coming on the show. I forgot to say this.
Thank you for having me.